Welcome to the Bible Truth Podcast with Ron and Tim Reynolds, pastors and Bible teachers. Pastor Ron and Pastor Tim combine for more than 70 years of teaching and preaching God's Word. Listen now as they share the eternal truths of the Bible.
Well, today we're looking at John chapter 19. Now, the setting is that the Jewish religious leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes and those that were members of the Sanhedrin court have taken Jesus to the Roman governor, Pilate. And so that's the setting. And let's pick it up in chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. You see, they wanted Pilate to do something. They wanted Pilate to give his permission to have Jesus crucified. And Pilate said to him, he said, "Well, I know you have a custom to release someone. And do you want me to release Jesus?" And they said, "No, we don't want you to release Jesus. We'd rather you release Barabbas." Of course, Barabbas, the Bible said in the last verse of chapter 18, was a robber. But that's the choice they made. So Pilate, being the consummate politician, he doesn't want to cause any more problems. So he scourges Jesus, which means he did something. They wanted him to turn him over to the Romans, the religious leaders did, the Jewish religious leaders, to be crucified. But he doesn't do that. He takes him and scourges him. Now, scourging was a painful thing that took place in those days. It was usually done by a whip that had at the ends, it had several, tails at the end of the whip. Sometimes they were called cattle nine tails. And at the end of these straps, these leather straps, was many times tied pieces of metal and bone. And so when the victim was tied to a post, they would get a soldier to take the whip and have him expose his back. And many times the pieces of metal or bone in the ends of those leather straps would pull the flesh from the bone. And it is said that many times the entrails of the person being whipped would be exposed. You could see their organs, so to speak. And so this was not just a little slap on the wrist. It was a scourging. And so they scourge him, first of all, and many men who were scourged never survived it. They had this thing where they would give 39 lashes instead of 40, because most men would die if they give them 40 lashes with the whip. But Jesus did not die, of course, there when he was scourged. And the Bible says the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Now, what's happening here is he now has been turned over to the Roman soldiers for scourging. Then someone gets the idea, "Hey, he says he's a king, let's get him a crown." And obviously someone goes out to where the thorn tree is, or thorn bushes, and I understand the thorns in that part of the world were very long and poisonous, and they make a round crown out of those thorns, and they put it on his head. And I would say they did not do that softly, but probably rather harshly. And then they put on him a purple robe. So now he has a crown, and now they're going to give him a robe, a purple robe. This is all to make fun of him. And then the Roman soldiers said, "Hail, King of the Jews." So here they're making fun of him and having some fun at, of course, at the expense of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says they smote him with their hands. Now, that doesn't mean they just slapped him a little bit. It means that they hit him with their hands. Now, according to the Old Testament, chapter 52 of the book of Isaiah, his face was beaten to a pulp, hardly recognizable. In Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 14, we have these words. As many were astoned at thee, his visage, speaking of his face, was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Which means his face was beaten so bad, and probably his eyes were closed from the beatings he had had prior, and now the Roman soldiers hit him. And so he can probably he probably can't even see very well. If he has a little corner of his eye, maybe where he could see out of, but his visage, Isaiah prophesies, and of course this is the fulfillment of that, where his face was not even recognizable. And then we look at verse 4. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you. Now, when the Bible says he saith unto them, it's speaking of the Jewish leaders that want Jesus crucified, Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Now, here Pilate says that again. He's already said it before. And he says it once again, that he doesn't have any charges that he can bring against Jesus. And he wants them to know that. He's trying to, you might say, clear himself of any kind of guilt or responsibility. And so he says to them, I want you to know I find no fault in him. And then verse 5, then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe. What a sight that must have been. His face beaten to a pulp. I'm sure he was bleeding from head to toe, and he's not even got to the cross yet. And the Bible says, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Now, you know, John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But here Pilate, I think in sarcasm, is saying, Behold the man. And you know something? He was quite a man. I'm speaking in a physical, from a physical standpoint, for Jesus to endure what he had already endured, been up all night long, been slapped, been spit on, been beaten, crown of thorns on his head. I mean, he's a man, all right. And so he doesn't say, Behold the king, or behold your savior. He says, Behold the man. And Jesus, of course, was man, but he was also God. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Once again, Pilate is letting those people know, actually for the third time, that he doesn't find any fault in him. So if you want to crucify him, you're going to have to do it yourself, or you're going to have to get it done. And verse 7 says, The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Now the law they are referring to was a law over in the book of Leviticus that talked about blasphemy. And they believed that Jesus was blaspheming God by calling himself the Son of God. Well, he was the Son of God. And, of course, they did not understand the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three persons in one God. No one understands it completely, but the Bible teaches it very, very vividly. And so they're saying he ought to die because basically he says he's God. And he was God. And so that's their excuse for crucifying him, is that he has blasphemed God. They got that from the book of Leviticus as far as the blasphemy was concerned. And then in verse 8, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid. Now that's interesting, isn't it? He was more afraid. I mean, he was afraid to start out with. He says, I find no fault in him. Now, here's the reason Pilate was more afraid, is because of what his wife said to him over in the book of Matthew. And let me turn to that. Matthew chapter 27. And let's take a look at verse 19. The Bible says, in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, and verse 19, when he was set down on the judgment seat, this is speaking of Pilate, when he sat down to pass judgment upon Jesus, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And so here is a warning that God is giving through Pilate's wife, and Pilate, you know, he has got that message that his wife has had this dream, and notice she calls him a just man. And so Pilate knows there's something different about this Jesus of Nazareth. Even his wife has said that he is a just man. And so no wonder the Bible says Pilate was more afraid. And then John 19:9 says, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. So he's afraid. He's got the message from his wife. She had a dream about Jesus and that he was a just man. So Pilate decides he'll go see Jesus one more time, and he says to him, whence art thou? In other words, where did you come from? Who are you? That's what he's saying. But notice the Bible says Jesus gave him no answer. Over in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul gives us some insight in what occurred here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. The Bible says, I beg your pardon, chapter 2 of Philippians and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, Jesus made it plain that he and God were one. When you see me, you've seen the Father, he said. And so then it goes on to say in verse 7 of Philippians 2, chapter 2, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So he looked like a man, and he was a man, but he was also God. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So here Jesus gave no answer. The Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. In other words, when they said bad things about him, he didn't turn around and say bad things to them back. He practiced what he preached. He said that we should turn the other cheek, and he certainly did that. The patience that Jesus had with these people that hated him and wanted to take his life is obvious. And so Jesus gives him no answer. Of course, that's a fulfillment of Isaiah 53. Let me just turn to that for a moment. Isaiah 53, the prophet Isaiah foretold of the taking of Jesus and the crucifixion and whatever. Let's pick it up at chapter 53 of Isaiah. The Bible says, he is despised, verse 3, Isaiah 53, 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The Bible says in verse 7 of Isaiah 53, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Well, that's the fulfillment of what's taking place here in John chapter 19 and verse 9. The Bible says, but Jesus gave him no answer, gave Pilate no answer. Verse 10, then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? So Pilate is saying to Jesus, hey man, listen, don't you know who I am? And don't you know the power that I've got? I've got the power of life and death over you. Now, let's notice the answer of Jesus in verse 11. Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me into thee hath the greater sin. Now, what's he saying here to Pilate? Pilate is talking about how he's got this authority, he's got this power of life and death over Jesus. And Jesus says, you have no power at all against me, except it were given thee. Which means what? It means that God had put Pilate in that position and had given him that power, and Jesus was letting him know that. As a matter of fact, over in the book of Proverbs, let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 5. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs 8 and verse 5. It says in Proverbs, I beg your pardon, verse 15, Proverbs 8 and verse 15. By me, God says, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. That little part there, by me kings reign, is simply saying that all kings, all national leaders, are, whether they be good or whether they be evil, are put there by God. God has an overlying purpose for even the evil ones. He even did for Nebuchadnezzar, for King Cyrus the Persian. And so Jesus wants Pilate to know he's been given that power not by Rome, but God has given him the power to be in that position. He said, except it were given thee from above, John 19, verse 11. And then, verse 12, and from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. So Pilate decides now, maybe I better let him go. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And so what's going on here is that Pilate has decided, maybe you know, I've got the power to release this man, and I think I'll just release him. But the Jews, excuse me, it's not talking about the common people, it's talking about the religious leaders, Jewish leaders. They wouldn't have none of it. And so they threatened Pilate by saying, if you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. In other words, we're going to tell on you. We're going to tell Caesar that you've let this man go, and you'll lose your job, and you'll not have the job of being governor over this area. And the Bible says when he heard that, he brought Jesus forth, and here he is. The Bible says he sat down in the judgment seat, Pilate did, that is called the pavement. It was an elevated platform. The pavement implies it was probably made out of stones of various kinds, possibly. But here is where Pilate would make his judgment concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 14, and it was the preparation of the Passover, John 19:14, and it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and that would be about 6 o'clock in the morning, Roman time, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. Now, why, before he had said, behold the man, Pilate had, now he says to these Jews, who have threatened him by saying, you're no friend of Caesar's if you let this man go. So I think Pilate decides he'll get a little gouge in, and he says to them, behold your king. Well, they didn't want to hear that. Verse 15, but they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? See, he's being sarcastic here. He's about had it with these Jewish leaders. And he knows that they don't want to hear Jesus, hear him call Jesus their king. And the chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Now, isn't that interesting? Here are Jewish leaders that in their hearts, they despise Rome and Caesar and all that Rome stands for, because they're under their authority, the Jews are. But when it comes to making a choice between Caesar and Jesus, guess who they choose? They choose Caesar. We have no king but Caesar. That's a bad choice. But did you know that kind of reveals to us what the Jews will do in the tribulation period when the Antichrist is presented to them? Let's go back to John chapter 5, because in John chapter 5, Jesus says something that's very prophetic in verse 43. Jesus says in John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Who was Jesus talking about there? He was talking about the coming Antichrist. He's also called the beast. And Israel will make another bad decision, the Jewish leaders will, in the tribulation period. They are going to accept this beast, this counterfeit Christ, as their Christ. He is going to promise to build them a temple, and he will build them a temple. And for the first 3.5 years, it'll look like that he is their Messiah, but he's a counterfeit. And Jesus says, you're going to receive him. You wouldn't receive me when I came, but you'll receive him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Listen to what Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians concerning this man we call the Antichrist. He's also called the beast. Paul writes in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who is that? That's the Antichrist. That's the beast. He's given the title here, son of perdition, or son of hell. who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That will occur in the last half of the tribulation period, the seven-year tribulation period. After 3.5 years, he will betray the Jewish people who thought that he was their Messiah. And he will set himself up in the temple that he built for them, and he'll want them to worship him. They'll refuse to do that, and all hell will break loose, and great persecution will be upon the nation of Israel the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period by the Antichrist, the man of sin. So here where they say in John 19:15, the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." They chose Caesar over Christ. People are still doing that today. That's a bad choice. They should have chosen Christ. We should always choose Christ. Caesar was a man that would die and go to hell, obviously, unless he repented of his sins, which we have no record of that. But Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and always will be. They should have chosen Christ. But they didn't. I'm going to stop right there and pick it up in verse 16 in our next session.
You've been listening to the Bible Truth Podcast with your host pastors, Tim and Ron Reynolds. They can be contacted on the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple Facebook page, or you may send Pastor Tim an email to timrey1@hotmail.com. Or if you prefer, mail correspondence to Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Again, that's Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.